This audio production is brought to you by the Islamic Institute of Toronto.
Okay, go ahead, inshallah ta'ala.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma inna nahmaduka wa nashkuruk wa nasta'inu bika wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Brothers and sisters, it's a pleasure for me once again to welcome you to another episode in our series Illuminate Your Life, a study of 101 traditions from the Prophet of Mercy, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today I have a beautiful hadith on the importance of planting trees and saving the earth and protecting the environment. This is a very, very critical issue. We are facing an unprecedented environmental disaster. So learn the lessons from the divine revelation, and let us put these lessons into practice so that we can save the life of the earth and the species in it. ما من مسلم يغرس غرسا أو يزرع زرعا فيأكل منه طير أو إنسان أو بهيمة إلا كان له به صدقة. الرابي أنس بن مالك المصدر صحيح البخاري. If any Muslim plants a tree or crops from which birds or human beings or cattle feed themselves, it will serve as an act of charity for them, as a sadaqa, meriting great rewards. The narrator of the tradition is Anas ibn Malik, one of the companions of the Prophet who served him for 10 years. And we covered his biography briefly earlier, and the source is in Bukhari. According to another report from Jabir, reported by Muslim, Jabir ibn Abdullah is another prominent companion of the Prophet. The Prophet said, if a Muslim plants something from which any living being eats, it would serve as a charity for him. He will be rewarded even if someone were to steal the produce that he has planted, depriving himself of the benefit, but benefiting somebody else if the wild animals or birds feed on it. Likewise, if anyone takes from it, it would also serve as a charity for him. In another, a variant report adds, until the end of times, meaning as long as that tree is there benefiting human beings and living beings, that will be reckoned as an act of charity for him. The above traditions stress the importance of cultivation and planting trees. Actually, the Prophet ﷺ, as an interpreter of the Quran, is explaining the Islamic vision, the worldview, our mission, what is our mission of human beings on this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Huwa ansha'akum min al-lam ard wa sta'amarakum fiha." He brought you forth from the earth. So we are created from the earth and we are settled on this. And it is our duty, therefore, we are therefore the shepherds of the earth. And as such, we are mandated to protect the earth and the environment. Therefore, we ought to work to make the earth conducive for the survival of the species, or the living beings. Hence, the importance of planting trees. If you ask what are the benefits of planting trees, many of us may not fully be aware of it. There are countless benefits. To mention only a few very, very important benefits. Trees purify the air we breathe. Because trees act like sponges for carbon and pollutant gas, absorb them, and of course, help purify the air that we breathe. Besides purifying the air, trees also produce oxygen. Without oxygen, we cannot survive. Oxygen is essential for human survival. And the trees also help cool the air by blocking out the sun's radiation and cooling the ground beneath us. Today, there is heat waves all over Europe. People are dying in hundreds because of the extreme heat, because deforestation. But if we were to plant more and more trees, that will save us from this catastrophe. Trees help prevent flooding and help sustain life. And more importantly, the fruits, if you were to plant trees, fruit-bearing trees, or plant crops, provides foods for humans and living beings. Today, we are facing an unprecedented environmental crisis because of our failure to live by the light of revelation. It is only by heeding the lessons of the revelation that we can save ourselves from the catastrophe, from the impending doom and destruction. This prophet stressed the importance of reviving the dead lands. He said, whoever revives a dead plot of land, they will earn tremendous rewards for it. If the living beings are able to sustain themselves by that work, by reviving the dead land, that would serve as an act of charity for them. The prophet's companions, the people were unlittered. They didn't have exposure to this divine revelation until the prophet came. So when the prophet taught them these lessons, the companions eagerly internalized and they were ready to act upon them. Imam Muhammad reports, a man passed by Abu Darda, one of the important, prominent companions of the Prophet. He saw him busy planting. He was an old man, elderly man. The man was really surprised. And he asked Abu Darda, you plant this now? You know you are too old and you will not live to eat of their fruits. Of the tree that you're planting. Of course, he was planting fruit-bearing trees. Abu Darda replied, never mind, I do not live to eat of their fruits. Someone else will eat them, and I hope to get the rewards. Umar radiallahu anhu, the second caliph, most pious caliph in the history of Islam, used to consistently exhort and enjoin people to plant and cultivate the land. Once he asked Huzaima bin Thabit, one of the important companions from Ansar, because he was passing by his land, he stopped Huzaima and asked him, why don't you plant your land? He replied, I am too old to do so, and I may die soon. So what benefit I get from it? So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, I insist you plant. And of course, Huzaima started planting, and Umar radiallahu anhu, the caliph, helped him complete that job. Abu Ubaidah, in his famous book, Kitab al-Amwal, which deals with Islamic finance teachings, Islamic ethics, financial ethics, the Prophet gave Bilal ibn al-Harith al-Musani an entire plot of land known as Aqiq. On seeing the land vacant, Umar radiallahu anhu told Bilal ibn al-Harith, The Prophet did not parcel it out for you to keep it away from the use of others. Instead, he gave it to you to plant it. So, if this is too big for you to plant, keep only a portion that you can plant and return the rest so that other people can plant on it. What a beautiful. Islam's progressive teachings in this area can be best demonstrated by the following tradition. We have already mentioned this, studied this before, but it is worth mentioning. If the hour is approaching while you are holding a seedling to plant, don't leave the place until you have finished planting it. One may wonder, what is the benefit? The world is being destroyed. He said, look, be optimistic and look forward to harvest the fruits of your labor in the hereafter. The Hadith teaches us to excel in productive works, works that are beneficial for human beings and life, and living beings, and that we ought to do so for the love of Allah without seeking material rewards. If we do so and dedicate our work to Allah, the ever-living, He will never allow our work to go to waste. The lessons that we can encapsulate, Islam exhorts us to be productive with our life. Engage in productive works. And the good works in Islam are of two kinds. Those that benefit us alone, and works that benefit others. This is a second category. Of course, we will get reward for both. However, the reward we gain for the latter, the work that benefit others, are greater, because it not only benefit us, but other human beings and living beings as well. Planting trees and cultivating crops are extremely rewarding. And we, as Muslims, should seize every opportunity to do productive works. We must never be slack in planting trees or crops on the pretext that we may not live to benefit from them, because we ought to do so with optimism and the intention to benefit others. Even as previous generation planted and we benefited from their work, likewise we should plan for the benefit of future generations. The Hadith teaches us to be altruistic and shun selfishness and narcissism, and work for the pleasure of Allah and pleasure of Allah alone. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
You have been listening to an audio production by the Islamic Institute of Toronto, Education for Virtuous Living. Please visit our website at www.islam.ca.